Now, since March, we feel like living under some kind of pressure, as if the air has weight. We live in a pressure cooker, albeit not very high pressure. There's just pressure everywhere. You walk down the street, and we'll see people lining up in front of grocery stores or drugstores. Somehow, the outside world has created a sense of pressure. And, as a matter of fact, Wuhan city's divorce rate jumped 50% after the curfew is lifted, with all the pent-up demand accounted for. And in all cities of China and in Japan, domestic violence jumped during curfew and quarantine. This is external pressure turning into internal explosion. As Christians, when there is external pressure, we will pray. As pastor, I will teach you to pray too. Otherwise, I must be mad. Yes, indeed, when there is greater in external pressure, we need to shore up inside in order not to be crushed. Nobody likes pressure from without. However, we Christians have been well taught when the external pressure is high, for Jesus has already demonstrated what his teaching in his prayer. So why don't we pray now? Lord God, we thank you for speaking to us once again. And we thank you because you are the Lord who will give us the sustenance in time like these. And we learn from you, even with all the pressure of the world, we know as long as we trust in you, submit to your will, you will be with us and bless us all the way. In Jesus' name, amen. There's only one verse we are going to talk about today, the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is one of the most touching prayers. In his prayer, Jesus has shown the ultimate submission. The submission of Jesus is not demonstrated in his saying that I am willing to be nailed on the cross. What touches us is Jesus' unwillingness to go up to the cross. Jesus knows exactly what he wants. Like you and I, we know exactly what we want. He did not want to go up on the cross. This is his genuine desire. But if this is God's will, he will submit to God's will. We have to understand Jesus' submission right here is not just blind trust. He is very conscious of his own decision. He did not go up to the cross because he was forced to, or he has no will of his own. It seems to me Jesus has a choice, but he still accepts the task with what I call a reluctant willingness. I know it is kind of difficult to comprehend. How can a willingness be reluctant? What is reluctant yet willing? More than 20 years ago, when I was teaching in a seminary, I was serving together with a young scholar. His name is Dr. Ying Fok Chang. He's currently the president of Hong Kong Chongqi Divinity School. Alliance Bible Seminary is an old-time seminary. They had daily morning assembly at my time. Unlike our fellowships today, there is no varieties of programs. So there's only two programs. One is prayer meeting and the other is preaching. So all seminary teachers are called to preach 1 to 3 times a year. I remember this is the second sermon he has ever preached in the seminary. The title was A Reluctant Willingness. I remember this title vividly. There he spilled his guts. The gist of the sermon is like that. The Alliance Bible Seminary has a tradition. It is called, it's a teacher-led seminary. It sounds familiar. What it really meant, all teachers of the seminary are assigned an administrative post. So every teacher is a department head of the seminary. Be it the treasurer or building maintenance, a teacher has to be the manager of the department. And there was no logic in assigning administrative post. As long as there's a vacancy and there's a guy who has no other assignment, this guy is assigned. Nobody cares whether the person has the aptitude or the gift to perform in this particular post. The idea is to believe anyone who comes to Alliance Bible Seminary to teach is called to do so. I remember the time our maintenance department was headed by a lady who cannot distinguish a hammer and a plier. But still, she is in charge of 10 buildings spreading around. I don't know how big is the area. And old-time seminary, all female teachers has to wear blouse or dress. So she is running around all the 10 buildings trying to figure out what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that. From these experiences, you cannot deny the existence of God. Nobody, no building fell, and everything seems to work. Now, Dr. Ying has to face the same situation. Now, he is the typical scholar who will get high just reading archives. But he still have to shoulder some administrative duties. To him, administration is torture. To certain people, administration is a breeze. They love it and can live by administration. The more they do it, they are more energized. But there are the type of person who just loathe administrative duties. It's like pulling teeth. They will love it so much that it will never be done until the 11th hour. But this biblical passage let us understand our calling is a complete calling. In our calling, there we will find excitement in salvation, faith to guide us through difficulties, and comfort when we are in our lows. At the same time, our faith has its own demand. It demands us to submit to God's will. It's as simple as that. It demands us to submit to God's will. Complete blessings and complete submission are inseparable. We will submit willingly. According to Dr. Ying, this is reluctant willingness. God does not force our hands when we are reluctant. We force our own hands even when we are reluctant. A conscious decision demanding our own submission to God's will. This reluctant willingness is not an impulsive decision, but a conscious act after considering God's will carefully. It is emotionally unwilling and probably rationally reluctant. Knowing it is God's will and it is good, eventually, I submit willingly, though reluctantly. So, in 2003, Dr. Ying eventually transferred to Chongqing Divinity School. He figured out this is not a teacher-led seminary. This is a president-led seminary. So the seminary will lead the seminary. The president will lead the seminary with his own team, not teachers. Because the president will take care of everything. Little did he know, he was jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. After 10 years, he was elected to be the president of Chongqing Divinity School. That is entirely not in his design, nor his choice. Like his sermon, he submit with reluctant willingness. And this is also the title of the sermon of his installation. In the same vein, little did he know, God used him to transform Chongqing Divinity School into one of the most respected seminaries among Hong Kong's younger generation. Before that, Chongqing Divinity School was considered an ivory tower which has no relevance to the society. I am sure Chongqing Divinity School in Hong Kong is one of the most connected seminary in Hong Kong. Connectedness means connecting to the society and connecting to the youngsters there. Now in 2020, he will finally retire from the position and to his lifelong love, research, scholarly research. From him, we can learn his reluctant willingness. Of course, reluctant willingness is not a biblical term, but this term rightly translates the concept of submission. We do understand our submission is insignificant comparing to Jesus' own submission unto death. Jesus' submission has an impact so wide and deep that we can never comprehend. However, our modeling of his submission is not wrong either. Our common man's submissions can still mix things right. Returning to the passage, Jesus taught us the importance of prayer. Jesus fell on his face and prayed. This posture is unmistakable, a posture of extreme earnestness. For sure, it is not our dime a dozen prayer. It is not just sitting at a table and, oh, thank God for the food. And this is not a very confident prayer either. This is a prayer of fear and trembling, and also with tremendous reluctance. But this is also not a defiant prayer. Jesus has no pretense. His disciples accurately reflect what had happened. We can tell there was no pretense here. If Jesus wanted to pretend, he would pretend to be a much more positive demeanor. He would have portrayed himself in a better light. This is genuine reluctance. But he obeyed nevertheless, because this is the Father's will. Please pay attention to the fact that Jesus was praying to his Father. He truly understood his Father was not asking him to do anything unnecessary. This is the Father's will. Jesus will obey. As human, he was reluctant. At the same time, as human, he submit to his Father. In his willingness, he submit to the will of God. In our Christian lives, as we count them one by one, we do not do everything happily without reservation, even if we know this is the right thing to do. Look back for the past week. See, there are times, even though we know this is the right thing to do, but we do not do it anyway. Or this is the right thing to do, I don't like to do it. It is not true that we will follow and obey God's will without nary a question. We will try to understand God's will and calculate the cost. Even when we are sure we will choose to obey according to our personality, our talents, and even our likings. I dare to say that nobody has the gift to be nailed on the cross, not even Jesus. It is not a gift that we'll like to do it. We'll do it without any kind of reluctance. If I were to be nailed on the cross, there's only one reason. Like Jesus, it will be a reluctant willingness because I have consciously made this decision after long and hard debate with my God. Beginning today, the church will accept offering in a new way. For the longest time, we tithe with cash or checks. Then came this pandemic. We are physically isolated in our own home. The usual way to tithe just halt. LGC would change as generation progress. So the finance department thought of something new, and this is not my job to explain that because I don't know anything about it. This is too new to me. I usually just try the try and true way by writing a check. And the finance department will explain that. But we are into this generation. And I think it is a good time to talk about tithing. For those of you who have been tithing for many years, you may find it too fundamental. I would like to specifically talk to those among us who are not familiar with tithing or you have not practiced tithing yet. To certain people, monetary tithing is easy. They see money as a tool. As long as the tool is used at the right place, it really does not matter how much is needed. And there are other people who would think differently. It may come from their own experience when they are growing up, or from family education. They would believe the larger amount of money is saved is safer. It's not out of any malicious thought. It's just that when they were growing up, they saved every penny. A penny more is a penny more. But tithing means one cannot save too much. Yes, tithing could be difficult for certain people. Sometimes it's related to spirituality and sometimes it is not. I know a Christian man. He has good income, But he lives a very simple life. He made good money, but he lived a very simple life. And besides tithing, he is willing to give more for worthy cause. He's never stingy with his offering. But he explicitly declared, "Now, God, I pay my due, but just don't call me to be a minister. Don't call me to be a minister." And there are others who have dedicated themselves to be full-time minister before the new tithing. Actually, sometimes spirituality can come, and sometimes it doesn't come. And I would like to speak to those of you who have difficulty to tithe. To many people, tithing takes a reluctant willingness. One of them would be somebody who just begin to make money. Before they make money, they have a plan, they have a budget for the money they are going to earn. Now, if every time they got paid, they will have to take out 1/10 of it, it is going to be very difficult. Because if you are just beginning to work, the pay will not be too high. And so after deducing all the necessary expenses, there are probably not too many left. But if I need to tithe, so which part of the budget I have to cut? So if I want to go to movie 3 times a month, then I have to cut to 2 times. If I intend to buy new clothes every month, then I have to wait until every other month. It's difficult because money is short already. And also to people who have made a lot of money. If we have $100K, then $10K is a lot. But if I have 10 million, 1 million is even more. Come to this point, this is really difficult. So it is good that I don't have that much money, and it's easier. But when I understand this is God's will, this is the time to learn what is reluctant willingness. Tithing could be one part of our life that it could come to be reluctant willingness. God will not force us to be willing. This willingness has to come from within. It's got to come from the bottom of our hearts. For God, for his will, I can consciously remove my own reluctance and become willing. Though I use the word reluctant, deep down inside ourselves, there's a motivation to move me beyond my reason, my feeling, then beyond my reluctance. There we will find the determined willingness. And today, I would like to take this opportunity, since we cannot have the act of tithing now. There's no offering box somewhere reachable to you. And I would like to do something. We'll pray for the offering we are about to make. There's about to learn to make. And we'll pray together. We call it offertory prayer. That we'll offer our money to God as a gesture, And it's only a token of what we have to dedicate to God. We say, we dedicate this sum of money for you, Lord, for this is what you have given us. And I dedicate my money here as tangible gift in response to your love, in response to all the blessings you have showered upon us. And let us pray. And Lord God, we come to you and we lift up our offering to you. And it is only part of our offering. It is monetary, and yet it represents our gratitude of your gift, of the gift of life, and also the gift that we can continue to dwell in you, to feel your presence, to be guided, and to be uplifted. This is only a token of our love. You have asked us and you have called us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, which is delighted in the eyes of the Lord. God, there are things we do not want to give you. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's our time, sometimes it's our sleep. But God, you know that. We want to take this offering to you as a tangible way to show that here, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you, for you are our God. Though reluctant we are, from the bottom of our heart, we are willing to submit to your will because you are our God. You are our Father who loves us so. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.